Hey, if you'd like to hear this show without ads and plugs interrupting, there's one thing you can do right now to make that happen, and that is become a PW Torch VIP member. You get about a dozen other podcasts throughout the week that I host that are VIP exclusive, and you get the Wade Keller post shows and podcasts during the week with the ads and plugs removed, all on a separate feed exclusively for VIP members. Plus tons of other podcasts that are VIP exclusive, access to our full archives of podcasts dating back to 2004, which includes post pay-per-view roundtables dating back to late 2004. Also access to our full archives, thousands of podcasts, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch Weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our website, and more. Check out full details at pwtorchvipinfo.com. That's pwtorchvipinfo.com to get full details and then jump to our sign-up form. It's mobile-friendly, desktop-friendly. In 2 minutes, you can be a VIP member, show support for us, and we'll give you a lot in return, including a streamlined listening experience on your iPhone or Android device with the ads and plugs removed. Go check it out, pwtorchvipinfo.com. If you shop at Amazon, I have a request. When you shop at Amazon, don't go to amazon.com. That sounds weird. How are you going to shop at Amazon if you don't go there? Well, don't go directly there. Start at pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. When you go there, there's a giant Amazon logo. Click on it. It takes you right to the Amazon homepage where you were heading anyways, but that small detour tells Amazon, we sent you there. And when they get that message, they send us a commission on everything that you buy. So it's a great way to support us without having to do anything different other than when you shop at Amazon, start at pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you so much for your support.
Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Monday Night Raw.
So, Zach, are you convinced that the Shield are going to be together forever after tonight's Raw?
You know what? I guess so. That was a pretty firm fist bump that they did in the middle of the ring. So, you know, what else is there to think at this point, Wade?
Well, I love Corey Graves. He's skeptical. He makes his case for 3 hours and 5 minutes. Dean shouldn't trust him. And then at the very end, he's like, this should erase all doubt that these brothers are together. So, I mean, I thought it was well done. I mean, this is an old, you know, it's a thing that you do. And it's a tool in the toolbox of booking to tease a breakup of a team, create doubt. And then in the end have this really happy ending with the Shield standing strong about 12 days before the Super Showdown in Australia. I mean, I thought for a storyline that you weave throughout a show, adding the mystery of will Dean be loyal to the Shield and who will Baron Corbin's partners be, I thought it was a decent hook to try to keep people tuned in for all 3 hours.
Yeah, I did too. From a simple, you know, Monday Night Raw storyline perspective, I applaud WWE for weaving a story like this throughout the show. It doesn't happen like that every single week. The thing of it is with me was I couldn't help but think throughout the show tonight that had it just been planned out a little bit better, you could have started planting seeds of this last week and the week before. And also, you know, to kind of harken back to some things that were discussed last week, if you didn't have all these different shows that you were trying to promote, the narrative of Ambrose leaving the Shield could have been more viable and realistic. But the audience knows that Super Showdown is coming up in 12 days. They know what the match is there. They know where Roman Reigns is going after that in the triple threat. So you add all those things together, and it was a hard story to believe, but one that I'm glad that they attempted to tell throughout the show.
So the question is, with that point being made, would they have been better off teasing Dean Ambrose, not being on the same page with the Shield, and not have that moment at the end where they unify and Corey Graves says this erases all doubt? Would it have been better to have a setup where at the end of the show people go, I think Dean's with them, and Corey Graves, but is he? Or is he waiting for a different time to prove his point? And then you've got a hook for right. 12 days from now. Now, they do have next Monday's Raw to try to tell that story, and maybe they will, and have something happen where there's a sense that maybe they aren't on the same page after all. We do have next week, but at least this week they decided not to tell that story.
I honestly thought that that might be where they end up going with this main event. I thought, you know, that could have been a way and an avenue to give, you know, Corbin a victory back. And, you know, if you get Strowman and his guys involved in the finish, they can get some heat. And then you can tell that Ambrose story for another week. But they decided to go a different direction. The Shield got a clean win. It was, you know, a relatively exciting match. So it's hard to grade it down fully.
I think, too, that there's reasonably so concern that if they tease Dean breaking up with Seth and Roman, fans will side with Dean, they'll side against right. Roman, and Seth point. Will be hurt by it. And if they go too far down that road, that'll become apparent, because early in the show, I mean, Seth does some talking, and then Roman takes the mic, and it's boo! And Roman just, yep. like, chuckles. It's just sort of like, ugh, you know. Just like, what have I got to do? And, you know, everyone just kind of seemed to laugh it off. But, I mean, it's clear, teaming with the Shield is not going to end this. I mean, it's going to continue to be an issue.
Well, 100%. And especially if they keep writing lines for him, like, you know, just take a look at our resume. Our resume speaks for itself. Like, that's an arrogant jerk talking, not yes. a lovable babyface. Like, it's just, it's mind-boggling that they keep rolling this kind of rhetoric out week to week. It really is something else.
I think some of the lines Roman is utilizing, too, are still not working in his favor. What did he say? Flapping your gums or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. Something with the gums, yeah.
Yeah, and I was just like, does he read that? Oh, bumping your gums. Yeah,
you guys are out here
bumping your gums. Well, I'm gonna, you know, kick your ass. It's like, does he read that line and go, yeah, that's how I talk, or yeah, you know, I talk that way, and that's gonna get me over. I don't know. I mean, it's you know, it's no. What was the Sheamus one? Tater tots or whatever it was.
Yeah, right. Oh my gosh. Oh, it brings up bad memories, Wade.
Yes, it does. Let's go ahead and set the table here, because we got people on hold who want to talk about tonight's show, and we will do that. We've got we invite you to send emails too, by the way, WadeKellerPodcast@pwtorch.com. We thank you if you're streaming us live and joining us after Raw goes off the air. Within 3-4 minutes, roughly, we're live on the air streaming the show at WadeKellerPodcast.com every Monday night and Tuesday night after Raw and SmackDown. By the way, tomorrow, Jason Solomon, the Solomon Monster from Solomon Monster Sounds Off, joins me, making his long-awaited return as co-host of the post-SmackDown show with me. So join us for that. There'll be an AJ Styles Samoa Joe contract signing to talk about. And but yeah, so send us an email if you can't call. But if you can call, the number is 347-215-8558. It should be on your screen if you're streaming us, 347-215-8558. Just be sure to push 1 on your keypad if you want to be a caller on the show. Otherwise, you just remain in the background. So you have to push 1 after calling us to say, yeah, I'm ready to join the show, and we'll bring you on. So this is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, post-Raw edition, recorded on Monday, September 24th, 2018. And I'm joined by Zach Haydorn from PWTorch.com. He writes an alternate version of what happens on Raw. Well, actually, it's the same show. It's not like an alternate world version.
Right.
But he also covers Raw for PWTorch.com. We call it the alt perspective, the alternative perspective to what I'm doing, what I'm writing. And so you can kind of compare both of our reports as you watch Raw, or catch up later if you're not refreshing our reports during Raw. You get two different perspectives on what's happening, and we often agree, and sometimes we don't, or we'll notice different things. So it's nice to have those two reports up on PWTorch.com. Does many other things for the Torch. We'll get into those later, but Zach, let's not make our callers wait any longer. Let's get the calls.
All right, let's do it.
Cool. We will begin with area code 443. You are up first. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Hello, Wade and Zach. This is Tim from Baltimore.
Thanks for calling, Tim. What's on your mind tonight regarding Raw?
Well, you know, I'd like to say, like, for the most part, I thought it was a pretty good show, like lots of, you know, with all the builds to Super Showdown. But the thing that really stood out to me, and I'm not sure it would be your lead, but it was Brie Bella. That kick that knocked Liv Morgan out.
Yep.
And it just was so sloppy, and she was clearly out on her feet and was trying to get her to do more stuff after that. And then it took, like, Ruby Riott basically like in mother hen mode, coming in and having to put the match back together. And it just was like, does Brie even know how sloppy she looks? I mean, do you guys remember, what was it, 2-3 weeks ago, the two botched planches?
Yes.
I mean,
I should laugh.
It's one thing if she's hurting herself. I mean, that's terrible too. But like, yeah, when you start injuring others, I mean, this is getting almost embarrassing, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, it's dangerous. And I mean, there's just, maybe it's not your thing, Brie. You know, I mean, maybe it's not your thing, but maybe it's just time to augment things. And in Brie's case, it might be time, Zach, for her to not dive through the ropes, which it seems like she learned, or practice with like maybe, you know, like the kids play with those big rubber balls where they like jump and leap into those big rubber ball pits. Maybe she should try and I'm sort of half serious, like do something so that you can try to dive through the ropes, but if your toes catch and you fall head first, you'll be fine. And do that like 100 times a day for a couple months. And if you start clearing it, then maybe do it on live television. But otherwise, don't do it because we don't want to see you get hurt. But you can't be throwing yes kicks if you can't place them accurately. I took karate for 15 years, and you learn where your foot is going to land. When you're point fighting, you're not trying to knock people out. You're trying to make contact, swift, firm, but relatively light contact, because you're not trying to cause concussions or knock people out. You're trying to score points. And you learn that control pretty early. I mean, I could basically lay in a kick or a punch, and if someone said stop 3 inches before or a half inch before, and I could throw a round kick to the head or a punch to the head and be within a half inch or 3 inches, depending on what someone told me, because I had a sense of distance. It's just something you get through practice. She doesn't have that. Or she's reckless and doesn't care. And either way, that's not an excuse. If you're good at what you do, then you're not knocking people out. And accidents happen, and I'm not 100% sure that there weren't, you know, two people at fault in some way. I mean, I guess it's possible that Liv was like, you know, leaned in on the kick when she shouldn't have, or something like that. I mean, there's a possibility we'll learn more about the spot. But given Brie's history, Zach, I mean, the natural inclination is to look at her, and I agree. She made the cover. You could clearly tell she knew that she was hurt. She kind of dragged her to her own corner. Brie dragged Liv to the Riot Squad corner, but made it look like Liv was doing it, and then she shouted at the corner, she needs help, or she needs out. And then, she still, though, went in and did a suplex spot, even though she might have been concussed. And then during the break, she was called to the back for help from medics. So it was pretty obvious something went wrong. And, yeah, I mean, Brie's she's got to be more careful what she does to herself and to her opponent, Zach.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, she's got to stop doing stuff that she can't do. I mean, she hasn't been back that long and almost killed herself two or three times, and then now has knocked out Liv Morgan with a completely different move. So she's got to keep that stuff in check, especially if she's going to be in high profile spots with the likes of possibly Ronda Rousey someday. I mean, you don't want that to happen to Ronda in that.
Oh,
thing, you know?
No. Well, I know. This is the part of me. This is the evil guy in my left shoulder talking. So I'm apologizing ahead of time for this, and I don't mean what I'm about to say. I'm just, but I'm going to say it anyway. I sort of want Brie to stiff Ronda Rousey in the face, because I sort of want to see what Ronda would do in response. Okay. That guy on the left shoulder's get out. Get away. That's bad. But if it does happen. If it were to happen, yeah, I mean, Rhonda's going to have to decide how she wants to handle that.
I wouldn't want to be on the other side of that. That's for sure. But, yeah, you know, even if you're not going to be, if Rhonda's not going to be retaliatory in that situation, you know, you don't want Rhonda getting hurt. She's got a lot of money they're paying her, and she needs to be available. On the flip side, I'm just not sure. I've watched it back, and there's some, you know, memes going around on Twitter of that spot. And it's just, I'm not sure how it happened twice, because it looked like she knocked her two times. And it's like, if you hit her in the face directly in the head the first time, you think you just kind of leave it at that and go from there. But then she just went right back in. So I'm not sure what she was thinking, but it was not good.
I mean, she was throwing the kicks and thinking about how do my kicks look and not how to protect her opponent. And no, she did. She hit her in the chest stiff a few times, and then went to high round kicks to the face, obviously hit her in the head, and should have felt that. I mean, she should have sensed, okay, right, that was stiff. And then Liv just fell forward. And as she was falling forward, Brie nailed her again. And it's just not acceptable. Brie was never a natural at this. I mean, Nikki was the better worker of the two. I'm being nice about this. And stuff like this makes you wonder. Yeah, so, and honestly, I mean, you know, we joke and laugh a little bit and snicker, but really she, I mean, if she hurt Ronda Rousey, I mean, it was bad enough when Bart Gunn ruined this Dr. Dusty Williams push by knocking him out. When the whole idea of Brawl for All was, you know, to give Doc a chance to show how tough he was so he can move up to the main event spot despite other things that were shortcomings in Doc's charisma department and on the mic. And that backfired. If Brie Bella knocks Ronda Rousey out by mistake in some match and Ronda goes down and out, are you kidding me? They can't turn that into pushing Brie any more than WWE succeeded pushing Bart. So, yeah, I mean, you know, Ronda's known for submissions, not known for taking a lot of punches. So it's not like, you know, well, Ronda can absorb it, she'll be fine. I mean, a kick to the nose is a kick to the nose. And I mean, Brie, congratulations, you got power behind them, but you're supposed to be working.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, let me bring Tim back, see if he has any follow-up. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, I mean, well, I look at it as it also could be detrimental to Liv, because let's say she has a concussion and she probably can't fly, so she gets, so she has to miss the Australia show, and that takes money out of her pocket. So that's not fair to her. And I don't know if I'll have to go back and look, but it looked like near the end of the match before Ruby hit her finisher, when she need Brie like to get her out of the ring, it looked like it was pretty stiff, as if it might have been a receipt.
Wow. Yeah, I'll rewatch that. I would doubt that would happen. And I say that just because...
Right.
Go ahead, Tim.
I'm sorry. I say that because it looked like Ruby, when she was tagged in, she like really wrenched in the headlock and took Brie down. And it looked as if, like, I'm taking control of this match, Brie, you're a little out of control. And she seemed to like be the ring general almost, but I almost wonder. I'm not saying the knee was super stiff, but it looked like it was a little rougher to knock her out of the ring, as if to say, "You hurt my friend."
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't rule that out. I mean, you got to be careful about issuing receipts when you're, you know, less seniority. But yeah, I mean, I could see Ruby just going, all right, you know, let's settle down and let me send a little message. But you don't want to go out and hurt anyone on purpose, you know, with like a stiff knee. But I think taking her over and just cinching on the headlock and going, settle ourselves down, I could see that.
Yeah, and I also think kind of props to Ruby, too. I mean, because you're right, she'd really, whether she gave the receipt back to Brie or not, I'm not sure we'll ever know. But Ruby did kind of calm that match down. She took it over. She knew what to do, and she took control. And I think that's impressive, and maybe it'll open up some eyes backstage as to what she can do in there, because it was a pretty professional moment from her.
Well, then they announced she's going to face Ronda next week, so they're already putting her in a rather trustworthy spot.
Very true.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Tim, I appreciate the call. Really glad you brought that up.
Yep, glad to have you, Wade. Remember, I called a couple weeks ago. I was your 595 guy.
Oh, great. Okay. Thank you. Yes.
Yes. Yep.
All right, take
care. Yep, glad to listen to you guys. Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bye. Hey, PW Torch fans, it's Sam Roberts, the last professional broadcaster, here to tell you about my podcast, Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast, every Thursday morning on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Spotify, on YouTube, NotSam.com. Wherever you get podcasts, you will find it. Interviews with the A-list of pro wrestling, whether it's Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan, just recently Corey Graves, Mauro Ranallo. They're all guests of Sam Roberts Wrestling Podcast, as well as regulars like Dan Soder and one of my favorite people to talk about pro wrestling with, Wade Keller. Plus, every week we do a deep dive and analyze what's going on in the world of pro wrestling this week. With the state of wrestling, Bruce Pritchard calls it the best interview in wrestling podcasts. I don't know if that's true, but that's what Bruce Pritchard says. Subscribe now, get it every Thursday morning across podcast platforms, or get the premium version at stitcher.com/notsam.
All right, our number is 347-215-8558. I'm Wade Keller, joined by Zach Haydorn. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast. You can find us just about everywhere. iHeartRadio, we're in more places now than ever. iHeartRadio, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. That's what I was trying to think of. And of course, Apple Podcasts, the new Google Podcasts. Search Wade Keller to not only find the post shows that follow Raw and SmackDown, also the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcasts, which this week will feature our Thursday flagship with Todd Martin, PW Torch VIP analyst, and then Interview Friday. And we've got two different candidates for what we'll be doing. So one is recorded, but we're on another one first if it's more timely. So we'll announce that a little later in the week, but a couple good ones coming up. All right, let's go back to the phone banks and go to 716 next. 716, thanks for holding. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Hi, Wade. Hi, Zach. This is Lee from Buffalo.
Hey, Lee, thanks for calling. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, other than gloating about the Bills win, I thought the...
I knew it. As soon as I heard it, you were going to bring that up. I paused. I was going to say something, and I was like, let's see if Lee does it. And sure enough, you couldn't do it. All right, go ahead. You earned it.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I thought the main event, accomplished quite a few things. You know, aside from the the Dean Ambrose thing, you had the that vignette, or not vignette, but I don't even know what to call those. But when they don't have an interviewer, but they have a camera with two wrestlers talking, whatever that is.
The selfie promos
with Drew McIntyre and Dean Ambrose. Yeah, no. Oh. When they've got Drew McIntyre and Dean Ambrose. Which why is the camera there? Who knows? But whatever it was. So you've got that teased again. And I think, that's actually been, subtly placed in the show throughout, the past 3, 4, 5 weeks. I think that's, a great little bit. And they forwarded that story just a tiny bit today. I don't know where they're going long term with that. I hope they have control enough to, not pull the trigger on it too early. But I like what they're doing with that. And then you had AOP in there, I didn't think it was the greatest match in the world, but, look incredible against their top guys. And eventually, at some point, they're going to run out of matches between Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman, Drew McIntyre. And you got to have someone else. I think it kind of went a good ways to at least build someone else up for, when those matches are cleared.
What do you think, Zach?
So. Yeah, I agree. I think, I think Drew and Ambrose have some really nice chemistry together. We saw that in their match last week. And I think both guys, have something about their personalities and about their stories right now that match up nicely. I mean, they're both guys on the roster who are on the cusp of making it up to that next level. I think they work well together from a match standpoint, with McIntyre being that big monster and Ambrose kind of being the crazy guy that just won't stay down for anybody. I think their styles mesh well. So if we get more matches out of them, that's good news for me. As far as AOP goes, they needed something like this to just break them out of that little funk that they were in. I mean, they really, Baron Corbin tried to sell the fact that they were the most dominant tag team on the roster since they were called up, but they really haven't been that. If you've watched the show week in and week out, you know that on a lot of shows between their call up and now, they haven't even been on it. And when they are, they were toiling around with, Titus Worldwide or what have you. So this was an important match, not because of the match quality or anything like that, but just to put them in there with credible guys, main event level guys that help rise AOP's ship a little bit. So on that front, I thought it was an effective Raw in elevating both those guys and helping tell that McIntyre-Ambrose story. One thing with McIntyre, too, that I noticed that was really interesting was when after the Rollins interaction, actually, and Ziggler walked up to him and asked him what was up, and he just kind of shrugged Ziggler off, there was an audible ooh and ah from the audience. And I thought that was just an interesting little snippet into what could be on the horizon for McIntyre. I think people respond to that guy, and I think they want to see him do big things. And that little teaser there, I thought was a cool moment.
Yeah, I think Drew is doing a good job in everything that he's asked. And I think he's going to end up being a very significant top tier player for the next couple of years and probably beyond. And that little moment was, I think, noteworthy and memorable. And yes, this was a big moment for AOP. I thought they delivered. You know, I thought that they looked like badasses in the ring. They had that moment, I think it was with Rezar and Roman, where there was a hot tag. And, it was like, it's supposed to be this kind of big moment when, you know, oh, this is two titans of the ring facing off maybe for the first time. And so, yeah, you want to do that. You want to have those spots where, you know, if they had advertised Baron Corbin and AOP ahead of time, it might not have seemed, you know, might not have had as many viewers if you didn't do the mystery thing. Although they didn't really play up the mystery much. It wasn't like Corbin was running around looking for partners. He made it seem like he had the pick of the litter because of the perceived or potential heat between Dean and then Roman and Seth. But it's a moment that says, hey, AOP belong in the ring with the top guys. And it also, in kind of the modern way of looking at it, sends a message to fans. Pay attention to what AOP are doing because we think they're worthy of being treated as equals against the Mighty Shield. So yeah, this and I thought they performed well and looked the part.
Yeah, I think the look, that was a big thing. I don't know that WWE needs them to put on five-star classics, but they do need to look the part of credible main event level heels opposite the likes of Rollins and Reigns. And to me, they batted 1,000 in that role tonight.
I do want to note. Well, go ahead, Lee. Anything else? Any follow-up before I move on?
Just one brief thing. I mean, them going up against the Shield. The only thing is the ring gear is so similar.
Yeah.
Between the two, I don't know how long they can do that for. I mean, it's like the police versus the military, basically. I would hope if they're going to do anything long term with the two, one of the two sides. Changes it up, slightly even.
if Taz was in the Shield, he would have not put up with AOP stealing his gimmick like this. old joke now, I guess. But I agree. I think they do look too similar, and they should change things up, and maybe it can be a way to get Roman to drop the vest. I think it would be one of about, eight things that are small and doable that Roman could do to try to soften the resistance against him. And glom in the Shield gimmick and for his singles career with the music and the vest and just kind of looking like a human video game, work against him. And, lines like bumping your jaws works against him. And so, and that sour lemon face he makes works against him. So just chip away at some of these things and you might, the being the center of the universe on Raw might not backfire as much. Lee, anything else?
No, thank you guys very much.
All right, cool. Absolutely. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right, just a note, we did not have a correspondent for an on-site correspondent in Denver. I looked it up. We had like more than we could handle last time they were in town. So I don't know what WWE did to our listeners last time they were in town. I emailed a few of them. They're like, oh, I just couldn't get myself to go again this time. Like people who went last time enthusiastically were like, couldn't go this time. Didn't want to spend the money. I know what Raw's been like lately. I don't want to sit there and watch videos. And I was like, wow.
Man.
That's interesting that, so I'm all the more curious to hear about what it was like in Denver and what the crowd was like. So if you're going to SmackDown, please drop me a line. WadeKellerPodcast@pwtorch.com. We really need you to come through for us so we can have that segment on this show. It's a service to our listeners and also it's just a service to our knowledge of what's going on in the building. In terms of crowd reaction and how the attendance and all that. So please help us out if you plan to attend a future Raw or SmackDown, whether it's SmackDown this week, also at Pepsi Center, or a future Raw or SmackDown. Please email me, WadeKellerPodcast@pwtorch.com. You can get in line on the phone banks, 347-215-8558. If you're streaming us live at about, 9:40 Mountain Time as we are talking to our callers. And we'll go next to area code 803. 803, thanks for holding. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, guys. This is Joseph from Columbia, South Carolina.
Hey, Joseph. Thanks for calling. What's in the garage tonight?
My initial comment was going to be about the whole Brie thing. I didn't expect anybody else to talk about it, but of course.
We got a lot of emails on it, too, by the way.
I can't that's kind of surprising, actually. I can confirm that Ruby did give her a receipt. I saw it actually a couple of times myself.
Okay.
And I just wanted to say that Brie almost took off Zelina Vega's head a couple of weeks ago with a pseudo V-trigger on SmackDown. So she definitely seems to be a little not so great right now, a little rusty.
If only she knew like a really good wrestler she could work out with in her free time.
Yeah, right? You would think she might know a couple, but
it's like Mike, what about, sorry for stepping in, Joseph. Virgil, like the joke back in, like, you know, way back when Ted DiBiase had Virgil at ringside was, how is Virgil still so awful in the ring when he stands at ringside for Ted DiBiase, one of the great ring workers of his generation, and he watched him work from ringside 200 some dates a year, and he still just couldn't. It just the aptitude wasn't there. But I mean, I could go to a concert and see, you know, a great saxophone player every night and still not be able to play the saxophone. But I also wouldn't call myself a saxophone player by profession if that was if I was that awful at picking up on how to play a saxophone, even if I was right next to a great saxophone player. So I just
Wait a second. Are you telling me that all those times that Brie is shown in the ring with Daniel Bryan on Total Bellas and Total Divas is all staged?
It could be, or it could be she just is really slow at picking up what she needs to from D-Bry. All right, Joseph, sorry, we're stepping all over you. Go ahead.
No, it's all good. You know, sometimes it takes people 10 years to become a decent wrestler. It happens, I guess. But Leah Rush and Bobby Lashley, I love what's going on with them right now. I'm just wondering if you guys think that once Bobby Lashley is done with this feud, if he can actually go back towards the main event with a manager, because I'm not sure if Vince, even though he seems to be bringing managers back, if he'll actually want a main event guy that has to have a mouthpiece with him in this day and age. As much as I love Leo Rush, because he's like a much better Enzo for me. He can actually work and he's great on the mic. What do you guys
think? And controversial on Twitter. What else do you need? go ahead, Zach. What do you think?
No, I'm with you. I think it's a good pairing. I think Leo Rush has all the personality in a lot of ways that Bobby Lashley wishes he had, and he's good at showcasing it. He can talk well on the microphone, and he complements Lashley in almost every single way. So I like where they're going with it conceptually from the standpoint of WWE pairing those two guys together. What I think they need to stop doing in this presentation is just talking down, like really, really down to Leo Rush. I mean, having the big bad heels call out the fact that Rush is small, that he looks like a kid. I mean, it hurts the credibility that he's trying to bring to not only himself, but to Bobby Lashley's character. And I think by driving him down that way, it really hurts the end goal, which is for Rush to help get Bobby Lashley over. He needs to just be out there and be his confident self and talk the way he does and go toe to toe with the heels and not just kind of laugh him off and shrug his shoulders and then introduce Bobby Lashley. I want to see Leo Rush kind of go back at Elias, go back at Kevin Owens as they make fun of him for about his size. I think that's needed to accomplish the end goal, which is to get Lashley up the card to a main event slot. That said, I think it's absolutely in the cards for him to be a main event player if this partnership continues to grow. I mean, he's already been there since he returned to Raw, so I don't think it'll take much to get him back. But I think Rush can be more effective if he's treated more as an equal and not as some small little cruiserweight that doesn't belong on Raw.
Yeah, you don't want the laugh. Normally picking on a guy with a booster seat like Kevin Owens and Jinder did, you want to have the punchline shouldn't come at the expense of the babyface. And fans were laughing at Elias last week when he delivered those lines.
Right.
And Leo hadn't really firmly established, no, he's a cool guy, we like him, don't pick on him for his size. So yeah, sometimes, you know, they get in the business of sports entertaining the fans with funny lines, not thinking about, well, how will this affect the crowd reaction? And if fans are laughing at Leo because he's small, which is a stupid reason to laugh at somebody. But if that's what fans are doing because the delivery is clever or the props are funny, you're trying to get a laugh line in. That's counterproductive to the story you're telling. I mean, just on the other side of this, either Leo is going to turn heel on Bobby and side with somebody else, or Bobby's going to turn heel with Leo. And I don't know which it's going to be, but I don't see long-term Leo Rush as a babyface manager for a babyface Bobby Lashley. I think one way or the other, they both turn heel or Leo turns heel. And I hope Leo turns into one way, either way it works out. I hope he turns into one of the great heel managers of this era, because I would love to see that happen. And he's got charisma. I think their thinking is his athleticism right now is babyface athleticism. You know, his ability to flip over and dive and outmaneuver the big heels who are going after him is a babyface spot. And I get that, but I think his long-term career prospects for any manager is going to be as a heel. Babyface managers tend to run out of things to do pretty quick other than just stand there. Maybe Leo will be the exception, but I doubt it.
The other thing that I was thinking watching this, not just this week, but in previous weeks, was, you know, there's an inconsistency between Leo Rush on Raw and Leo Rush on 205 Live. And I think if WWE is going to want to push all this content out to its audience, it behooves them to line up their characters a little bit, because if Leo Rush can get over and people are interested in him, whether he's a heel or a babyface on Raw, where there's millions of people watching, you never know, that can convert and get eyes on the 205 Live product. But if they see him on Raw and then watch 205 Live and see somebody completely different, I think a casual fan would ask themselves a lot of questions. So I hope with a potential heel turn or a babyface turn on either show, that could line his character up a little bit and make 205 Live a potential product that people might want to see more.
Joseph, anything else?
I was just going to say, I totally agree with the talking down to the manager. To me, that feels more like, you know, if you're going to pick on somebody, they should be a heel. Like when Jim Cornette was a manager, you'd pick on him because he's going to run to his mom and cry about everything.
Yeah.
You know, doing that to a face, not being able to retaliate so much, it doesn't make too much sense to me. But I agree. To me, I think Leo would be a much better heel manager. Just his voice alone. He's so great, but his voice just screams heel manager.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree. Thanks for taking my call, and I hope you guys have a great evening.
Great, appreciate it. Yep, thanks, Joseph.
You too.
Searching for more great pro wrestling talk? Then join me, Jason Powell, host of the free weekly Pro Wrestling Boom podcast. Each week, you'll hear the latest news and analysis from me and my team at ProWrestling.net, along with other pro wrestling media members. Plus, the Pro Wrestling Boom podcast features long-form interviews with notable names in the pro wrestling industry. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Downcast, and all your favorite secondary apps, or visit us directly at pwboom.com. Once again, that's pwboom.com.
All right, let's get another call in here, and we'll go to 720. 720, thanks for calling. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey there, Wade. It's Alex from Denver. How are you?
I'm doing good. Hey, Alex, are you our on-site correspondent?
Last year, yeah. We actually emailed earlier. I was out of town visiting family, and I didn't even realize until yesterday that they were in town. So it's a little too late to get tickets.
So you're our in Denver correspondent who watched Raw on TV.
Exactly.
So what was the crowd like, and how much did you pay for your ticket? Never mind. That's that won't work.
No, it's the show that I've missed in a good several years here, but I mean, I'm sorry that I didn't go, but it just seems like comparing last week and then the next week, it's like we just happened to miss, you know, Shawn Michaels and Ronda Rousey and, you know, the surprises that we don't quite get all the time. So I felt bad, not quite so bad, because pretty much we got everyone that we would normally see. But no, I got a couple questions that are I wanted to ask you and see what your thoughts are. Maybe it's just me overthinking things and I should just sit here and just watch the show and just, you know,
be happy with
what I see. But
that is not your job. Your job as a viewer, and this is you, Alex, and everybody else, is not to pretend that you're dumber than you are. It's not to turn off your brain and accept an inferior product. It's not. You absolutely can hold them to a higher standard of craftsmanship than they sometimes settle for themselves. And in fact, you should demand it. So go ahead.
Well, I would like to think so, but I mean, it was touched on a little bit on the last couple of calls, and it's been Brie Bella this whole time that I've been here. But what, you know, aside from what happened in the ring today, you know, first thing that pops into my head when I'm seeing this that comes into mind is we have John Cena, Undertaker, and the amazing Brie Bella that can hop between shows. I mean, did they ever address her being SmackDown and Raw and back and forth? Because This brand split just seems like, you know, it just doesn't even matter at this point anymore. I'm just wondering what, like, that's in my mind. I see that, and I'm just like, okay, what's the point of this whole brand split? You know, why out of anyone is she just able to hop back and forth if she's a superstar? You know, pick one show, stay on that show, and just be consistent about it. And
I agree. I mean, they don't even address. Have they addressed it, Zach? I don't think they have.
No, I don't think they've addressed it at all, and it's weird that they haven't.
And I think it does diminish the roster split. I mean, there is a sense of just a cavalier attitude of fans don't care about that stuff. And, you know, I mean, Cena, at least, they said he's a free agent. And I think with Undertaker, and you know, there's, it's just sort of like, well, he's freaking Undertaker. But I'm sorry, Brie Bella's no John Cena. Right. She's no Undertaker. And if the idea is, well, if you're married to somebody on the other brand, then you get to go over there, then, I mean, they should just say that. You know, just go, hey, you know, the GM's talked on the phone, and because Brie's married to Daniel Bryan, and this is a highly personal issue with Miz and Maryse, that Baron Corbin or whomever loaned Brie over to SmackDown. And it's, you know, because her husband and wife. I mean, just tell us that. I mean, why not? It doesn't hurt anything, and you're respecting the viewers instead of telling them, pay attention to some rules but not others when it's convenient for us.
Yeah, it's so easy. Yeah, it's just so incredibly easy to pull off. I mean, you can just say it one line, one time. It's all it takes to just complete that little connect those dots. It's not hard. So it's weird that they just don't do it. It takes 2 seconds.
Yeah. If it was, this is the thing. I've had this. I call them straighten your tie moments, because it's like, it takes no effort to straighten your tie. This is not get a six pack, go to the gym and get abs. It's like, that's a lot of work. You got to watch your carbs, and you got to get to the gym. You got to sacrifice. And it's really hard work if you want to have washboard abs, unless you just have gifted genetics. But straightening your tie, anybody can do that. So just do it, WWE. These aren't hard solutions. It just takes a decision internally that it's okay to bring this stuff up. And with a giant writing staff and all the people around, or the announcers themselves, it should just be culturally within the culture of WWE, it should be okay and encouraged to bring this stuff up. And then it should be a gimme when someone brings it up, because someone's thought of it, to go, okay, yeah, now here's a solution. Let's incorporate that in. And if they did that to every little thing that came up that was super easy to do, that was super easy to fix, though, everything would be better. And then there are viewers out there who don't want, for lack of a better term, their intelligence insulted. They want to be immersed in the product and not be reminded of the fact that they're watching a product where the promoters and bookers have a very low standard for craftsmanship for what they're doing. And WWE does. It's sloppy and needlessly so. And I think that's what's frustrating to people. Isn't, like, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, I'm sure Vince McMahon's attitude and people around him is, just get over it. Big deal. Breathe on both shows. Just enjoy the show. But that's not fair. I mean, viewers have a right to go, you want us to care about certain things, but arbitrarily not care about others when the solution is so simple.
No, and that's it, to go along with that, actually, too, especially with the brand split, since we were talking about it earlier, is Leo Rush and Drake Maverick. I mean, am I supposed to assume that I don't see these guys on Tuesday or now Wednesday nights? Because, yeah, now they're on Raw. You know, they've addressed that they're on, you know, 205 Live. But Drake Maverick as a GM, I thought he's a pretty straightforward, you know, GM, does a great job. And in Raw, he's a sniveling manager of AOP. And now Leo Rush, and he seems like an entitled brat on 205 Live. And now he's a face for Bobby Lashley on Monday Night Raw. So is it just like completely forget what they do, you know, a day or two afterwards on, you know, the same WWE product with a different show? Are they two different characters or what?
No, I think there's a lot of that going on this episode of Raw. I mean, we had it with Hunter and Stephanie doing charity work, and then whatever, 5 or 10 minutes later, they were being complete jerks getting into their limo. We have Mixed Match Challenge, where for some reason people who we are taught to despise are teaming with people who were taught are role models or people worth cheering, and we're supposed to just accept that the people who are role models or good people are willing to set that aside and have a blast. You know, Asuka and Miz, woohoo, this is great. Why is Asuka so happy? Why is Miz so happy? Like, they just, this indiscriminate, don't ask questions, let us just do what we're doing. I think it's getting worse, because they have just so much money coming in from all these different places now. Saudi Arabia and the new TV deal especially. But I think they have a take-it-for-granted base with WWE Network. And I think they're a lot less panicked about not being at 2 or 3 million now with the other things going well for them. So they're getting sloppier. And I think they're going to pay a price in other areas. And it might be a body blow that they shake off at this point. But I hope not. You know, I, again, it just comes down to pride of what they do and being professionals and caring about this stuff. And there is no suitable explanation for Drake Maverick playing two different characters on two different shows. I mean, if a character is on a sitcom and they do a spinoff, and they and that person shows up on an, on the other sitcom, they play the same character. You know, I mean, it's a different TV show, but it's a spinoff. And 205 Live and Raw are the same universe. And frankly, Mixed Match Challenges, they're the same characters, but they're getting along. Why? Well, because it's a Mixed Match Challenge, and that's where it's all about fun and playfulness. I don't know. There's no good explanation for it, and it's disappointing and I think frustrating for fans who just want – they're pro wrestling fans, and they want the story to be told well by the people in power. And WWE isn't giving it to them too often, and it's so easy to fix that it makes it all the more frustrating.
In my head, it's a couple of different things too. I mean, for one, I wonder if they're getting to the point where they're just there is too much content to curate, where they you can't have the same teams that are on Raw be on Mixed Match Challenge and so on and so forth, where they feel for some reason that they have to blur those lines. But I just look at that scenario just completely different. I just in my head. Different pieces of content on the network across these different shows can help feed the others if they're consistent and not the opposite way around. And and I don't think it's just me, but it's frustrating. And it, where they just say, hey, just sit back and enjoy the show. Well, the lack of consistency, I think, prevents people from enjoying the show. I think they want to see that consistency. They want to you know, be credited for watching week to week and seeing things unfold, not just on Raw or SmackDown, but 205 Live if they watch there, or Mixed Match Challenge if they watch there. And fans just aren't rewarded for connecting with WWE in all those different spots with all those pieces of content right now. It's the opposite.
So, I mean, that's just what was on my mind. And yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. It's just these certain things that just blatantly don't make sense. And it just seems, you know, yeah, exactly. Address it, you know, say something about it. But when it's just, there's nothing mentioned at all. There's just a big, you know, a big wall that's like, you know, all right, what the heck is going on over here? And you know, for me, like I said at the beginning, maybe I'm just overthinking things, but I know I'm not the only one, but it's just, yeah, I mean, it really gets in the way of having fun. And I know this is a stretch, but I mean, there's a reason 10,000 people filled in all in right away, because, you know, they, if there's an alternative out there that doesn't insult their intelligence, they're going to look for it. And yeah. I mean, unfortunately, yeah, this is supposed to be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night, having fun and enjoying our TV. But it's just these little things that are so frequent all the time now. It's just so sloppy, and it's just, yeah, it ruins enjoyment in a lot of things, unfortunately.
Well, Alex, there's no relation between what you said and what I'm about to say, but I hear there's a lot of tickets tomorrow for SmackDown. So if you decide to go, let us know.
Nice.
All right.
Right on. Sounds good. I'll shoot you an email right away.
Okay, thanks, Alex. Appreciate it.
You got it. Take care, guys. Good
you day. Bet.
Good night.
Yep. So, Zach, we'll come back and answer some email questions. So if anybody's on hold and didn't join us as a caller and you want to chime in on the conversation, add your 2 cents, the email address is wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. That is wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. We'll be back right after this with our email segment. All right, we are back for the mailbag segment here on the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. Zach Haydorn is my guest co-host. Zach, I mentioned that you do the Raw reports on PWTorch.com alongside mine on Monday nights. Talk about your other contributions. Obviously, 205 Live for the site and a special weekly column, and also your VIP podcast.
Yeah, you can check out my 205 Live coverage now on Wednesday nights. I'm on PWTorch.com, so a full rundown of the happenings on the show, as well as my analysis on the segments and the matches. That's Wednesday night. And then usually Friday or Saturday, sometime over the weekend, my VIP audio show on the Canvas drops. And that is a show where I kind of take a current event from the week, whether it's on Raw or SmackDown or NXT or even Ring of Honor or New Japan, and take that current event and kind of analyze it from the artistic side, the performance side. So there's archive shows about matches. There's a show in there, Ricochet against Adam Cole from NXT TakeOver, where we break down frame by frame the art behind the match. There's promo analysis shows. And most recently, me and a special guest, Matt Kuhn, did an episode on Ronda Rousey versus Alexa Bliss. And again, it's not so much a show about storylines and booking decisions, but just about the presentation of the work in the ring or on the microphone. So the show is called On the Canvas. Like I said, it drops usually on Fridays, but go VIP and press play and would appreciate it.
PWTorchVIPinfo.com is where you can go to get everything that comes with a VIP membership. You're really missing out if you're not a VIP member. There's just great content every single day, multiple podcasts, multiple perspectives, fast turnaround time on coverage of big events, and every nook and cranny of worldwide wrestling coverage. Japan, Alan Cunahan with his Pro Wrest Paradise, Alan 4L, as he's been known forever, just does a great job talking about the European indie scene. There is wrestling outside of New Japan and Japan. He knows it inside and out. I mean, the ROH, Impact, NXT coverage, Top Knot, it's just on and on. Go VIP. Check it all out. All the details are at pwtorchvipinfo.com and the largest archive in a single place of insider information dating back to the late 1980s awaits you the moment you sign up. So including really fascinating retro radio shows from the 1990s, a new show dropping every Thursday night. All right. We got some a lot more to talk about here. I want to open up before we go to the mailbag with a quote from Jeff Andrew Jr., who does the top three developments column after Raw and SmackDown every Monday and Tuesday. So hope everybody's checking that out on pwtorch.com. He does a great job just saying, here's the top three items from the show, and then here's my analysis of it. First time ever, I think, he had one item and random thoughts, because this show was all about the Shield, and there wasn't really, like, three main things that they were going for. So it's kind of, like, we can scroll through and say, well, the Brie incident, maybe that's, but is that really a development or just sort of it happened unexpectedly? Yeah. And nothing with Chad Gable and Bobby Roode count. Like, can you think, Zach, of like what number two and number three would be if you were hard pressed?
No, it's funny that when we were, you know, when we were talking to callers, I was going through and I was like, it's strange because, you know, in a lot of ways, a lot happened on the show. But at the same time, it was really all focused on one single solitary story. So, you know, there it was the Shield or bust tonight for sure.
And I mean, there was a long video package on Undertaker and Triple H, and that took up a big segment. But the you normally look at the anchor segments, the top of the hour, the opening mm-hmm. segment, top of the second, top of the third hour, and the closing segment. Well, the opening segment of the show was about the Shield. The closing segment was, of course, the main event with the Shield. And the other two anchor segments at the top of the second and third hour, one was Connor's cure, and the other was the Bobby Lashley Elias match. And I mean, with all due respect to Lio Rush and Kevin Owens and Elias and Lashley, that doesn't feel anchor segment worthy. But if you had to pick out a number two and a number three story from this show, even if you talk about Brie as a major development, I mean, I guess you could say to me, it wasn't like designed this way. Well, I mean, they were hoping. It's the revival. Winning over the yeah. crowd as a babyface team unexpectedly against Dolph and Drew. I first of all, the Revival are great, and I think as a babyface team, undersized with their gimmick, I think it can work. I think WWE fans, the ardent fans, and even casual fans can get into what they do and might like them more as babyfaces than heels at this point, because I think there is something to be said for sort of rebelling against all the flips and stuff like that and just being good, grinded-out wrestlers. But I also give big credit to Dolph and Drew. I just think that Drew's great. Dolph has had this big resurgence as a heel this year, and I'm happy to see it because he's super talented, and I think it's working. And they've unexpectedly found a niche, and I think they really deserve credit for what they've been able to deliver.
Me too, and I'm really glad that this got brought up, because I had to eat crow a little bit on my report for PWTorch.com, because at the beginning of that Revival and Ziggler McIntyre tag team match, I was wondering to myself, like, is the Revival going to be able to succeed kind of in this pseudo babyface role without, you know, officially having that turn to get fans on their side? And if you watch that match back in the early part, the babyface reaction for them wasn't there. And I commented on that and some early analysis on the match in my report. But then by the end of it and coming out of a commercial break, they had flipped the script and they had the audience behind them. And I think it's just a testament to how skilled of not just the tag team the Revival are, but just how skilled they are as pro wrestlers and how to read the crowd and manipulate the crowd and stay within their bounds of their gimmick to do so. So I was really impressed. And then, yeah, Ziggler and McIntyre were great. They were the perfect foil for the revival in that vein. And I thought it was a really, really solid TV match that took up a good amount of time. And I think it's set Revival on a bit of a new course here moving forward.
This match felt like, well, they deserve a shot. They were taken out of the picture unfairly.
Yeah.
We sort of owe them a match, so we'll just put them on. There's not a lot going on this Raw, so we can give them 12 minutes, let them do their thing. And it unexpectedly turned into a match that, I mean, the least likely match of the night together. This is, well, I shouldn't say least likely, because there's four good wrestlers. But when you look on paper, two heel teams, it feels like it's going to be a 3-minute squash win for Drew and Dolph. Yeah. I was not expecting a This Is Awesome chant late in the match, and huge pops for near falls for a revival, and kickouts. I mean, that match clicked. And I think Vince, who's been up and down on the revival, at first didn't get it, then he got it, and then he lost faith after the B-team match. I bet he's back on board with them now.
I hope so. I hope so, because I mean they got a big reaction. I mean, I don't know. We don't have the on-site correspondent to corroborate this, but outside of like that initial Shield entrance, those near falls got big pops and big reactions. So I think if Revival was going into this match kind of on like a list of if we do something with them, great. If we don't, no big deal. I think at the very least they've elevated themselves off that list and have the spotlight shine on them at least a little bit as to an act of, hey, let's pay attention to these guys. They have something, and in a weak tag team division, who knows, the sky's the limit.
So for Jeff Andrew, I would say if you're looking for number two, it's the revival of the revival. That would be my number two development of the show. Brie Bella and the kick that did not miss. What might be number three? You can make another argument that Stephanie and Hunter in this just like whiplash inflicting change of character went from getting out of a limo and acting smug to standing in the ring and smiling for, representing the corporation and this wonderful charity. And then all of a sudden back to being just, jerks getting into a limo and cutting a heel promo. I'm like, don't get mad at a lot of stuff. Like, I'm kind of like, I like kind of like no drama. I like kind of, I don't know. I just, like, I don't freak out at like drivers on the road much. Like, I get really pissed off at Stephanie and Hunter when I watch Raw. Like, it's one of like the top five things that just like, kind of sets me off in this world. I'm so irritated by it because it just seems like it's so privileged. Like, Stephanie gets to play a bad guy on TV, but also the corporate good gal. It drives me nuts. So Vandrew put it really well in his column. He says, Stephanie McMahon was an emasculating harpy in the show's opening segment, but a warm matronly philanthropist at the top of the second hour Connor's Cure segment. I don't know. I get over it quick, but it gets me going a little bit. It's like the top five thing, and I'm very fortunate to say that, but like with the things coming at me in the world, like if my computer just stops working, I'm like, all right, let's fix this. Hunter and Stephanie do this thing. I'm like, I start throwing stuff. What's going on?
I think part of it for me anyway, and I'm the same way. I kind of roll my eyes at the whole thing now, but it used to really frustrate me. And part of it was that they have this vibe about them when they're going back and forth between, polar opposite ends of their character. And that vibe to me just screams, hey, we're Triple H and we're Stephanie McMahon. We can do whatever we want. It doesn't matter. Who cares? We don't care. And it's just like, yeah, but a lot of people do care. And you guys and Triple H especially should know better in that regard, because he had to, work a character to get to where he is. And it's really frustrating to see kind of the arrogance behind that. I think that's what bothers me the most.
Yeah, it does. It feels arrogant. It feels cavalier. It feels privileged. And what bothers me, what might bother me more is the possibility that Stephanie actually is just completely oblivious to what she's asked to do in the different roles that she plays. Like, is it possible she just doesn't get it? Like, that she thinks she's part of a play and that fans understand that there's this other role that she plays and it's all in fun. And when I'm a bad guy, you boo me. And, oh, you guys are just great booing me. All right. But, oh, now it's time for us to break character here. but, you know, still be the same people in the same clothes on the same show, acting the same way. Except now, you got to love us because we represent the great corporate citizen that is WWE. I mean, it's possible it doesn't cross her mind, but even if it doesn't, it should be something that bothers Vince McMahon and that other people speak out about. So, yeah, I'm getting kind of mad talking about it again.
No, you're right. You're right. And, I mean, she, more so than Triple H, even takes it to another level in that she's running down heels as a babyface to start the show. And I think in this instance, that was fine because Baron Corbin is the bad guy. But it's still like a third degree of her character where she's running down heels. She's in there being the philanthropist for Connor's cure. And then there's yet a third iteration where she's annoyed by the fact that she's got her husband has to answer questions about the upcoming big last time ever match that he's been promoting for what feels like 3 months. Like, it's just arrogance is the word that comes to mind. And that was a long segment for something that's focused on the charity, was it not?
It was. And I don't know how many I was actually rooting for the Hyundai guy to ask for a round of applause again. Like, just keep coming up with reasons. I mean, like, you could tell Hunter, like, the third, he's like, oh, yeah, let's give a round of applause to whoever it was. And then he was like, yeah, let's give a round of applause. I actually want to look this up because it was kind of endearing, but I was like, I want this guy to get so wrapped up in the moment, like, so wrapped up that he's on TV and the crowd is being polite and he's doing charity work that he just, and like, maybe the crowd could pick up on it and start egging him on and get him to just ask for one round of applause after another. Let's see. He asked for a round of applause for the kids, the boy and a girl, Carter and Elizabeth, who were great, by the way, in this. I mean, they were fantastic. Elizabeth was tearing up, and Carter, you could just tell. This was like such a special moment for him, and I was thrilled for them. Then he asked for another round of applause for WWE itself for donating, and then all of a sudden he goes, yeah, and let's do another round of applause for you, the fans. And I was like, all right, we got to get a fourth one in here. What can he do? Like, what can the fourth one be? It went on. And you could see Hunter going, okay, hopefully this is the end of him asking for rounds of applause. And by the way, you're Hyundai. Step it up. 200,000? Come on. You can do better than that. That's nice. And I don't mean to be like, but that's a big company. And this is a really cool charity. I was expecting a little more, like maybe 250,000 would have been rounding up. I don't know.
No, you're right. And I always, like, with the segment, when it was going as long as it was going, wrestling crowds can be finicky. And I don't think they would have the gall to, you know, interrupt a segment like that. But with him regularly asking for those round of applauses, I was like, oh, my God, Hyundai guy, like, this crowd is going to soon have enough of you and it's not going to be good. So wrap it up, buddy, because it just went a little too long for my liking.
Yeah. I mean, wrestling fans are not as bad as they once were, and don't accept if you're Roman Reigns. And I mean, they really are more forgiving. They're not going to, I mean, they're not jerks. They're not going to screw around with a charity segment. But the guy, the guy's like, another round of applause. I'm like, oh, this is getting good. This is getting good. All right, let's hit the mailbag. I said we had some Brie questions. I'll sample two or three of them here. Kyle from Connecticut. Is it about time for Brie to take a trip to Florida to work off the rust? I always enjoyed Bella's stuff during their run, feuding with Stephanie, etc. But man, she's been awfully unsafe lately. The dives, kicks, miscues with a catapult tonight. Is it worth it to have her in there? There's a question. Is it worth it to have her in there? I mean, should she be given ring time after all of this?
No, I don't. I mean, yes, she should be maybe given ring time, but not in the in a way that puts her on a pedestal and gives her the floor to try and showcase what she wasn't really all that great at 5 years ago. You know,
exactly. When he says work off the rust, I'm like, I'm not sure this is rust.
Yeah, I mean, it's consistent with her performances just throughout her whole career. Like you said at the top of the show, she's never really been like this tremendous worker. And I think you add rust on top of that and you get what you got now. You get what you got tonight and you get those dives. And so, yeah, I think you can put her in there for, you know, some matches that are just kind of going through the motions, A and B type stuff. But, and even I think she's protected a little bit in the mixed tag matches with Bryan and Miz. I think something like that is even okay for the most part. But to give her more time than that with people on Raw and women on Raw that are going to be tasked with carrying that division, you know, past Evolution and past the Bella's involvement in all of this, like, you know, you can't have her out there injuring people. You just can't do it. There's too much on the line. So they need to be careful.
Yeah, I agree. So let's go to Zach B. He goes, Brie Bella has had three matches, four if you count them, the match with no finish with Maryse since her return to the ring on TV. She wasn't great previously, but she's actively bad now. That should be her name. That should be her new T-shirt. Actively bad, Brie Bella. We don't even have to let her in on the joke. She'll just think it's a cool nickname. She nearly hurt herself doing a simple suicide dive, something multiple wrestlers execute multiple times a night with no issues. Now tonight, she knocked out Liv Morgan smooth out using a move her husband has used in all of his matches for the last umpteen years without incident. For her safety and the safety of her fellow wrestlers, I think Brie needs to step back and focus on her reality shows and let her husband and sister do the wrestling. Zach in Texas. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to back out now, but I think they ought to start devising a smooth exit plan for her.
Yeah, and just, you know, just take that those spots out. I mean, you know, we can get the yes kicks on SmackDown with Daniel Bryan. I mean, you don't need to see him again on Raw. Just think of something else. You know, it just comes down to that at this point.
Yeah. All right, I won't pile on. We'll move on to some other topics here. Someone had a nickname for Brimo now. But anyway, let's go to Brian H. He goes, wow, the Revival looked great tonight, and the crowd really seemed to get behind them. Will WWE ever catch a clue, strap the titles to them, and shoot them to the moon? So I predicted Vince would be back on the Revival bandwagon. But what is their upside as two relatively undersized, sort of plain-looking guys who aren't super colorful, they don't jump off the page. Can Vince get behind, you know, I mean, like, you know, this is kind of like the Tully and Arn of the modern era. It just, they're not jumping off the page to Vince, but so I worry he won't get them, you know, like even with this crowd response and utilize them to their full potential as just sort of being this unlikely team to rule the tag team division. But I think there's value in having a game plan. You don't want to disrupt what they're doing with Drew and Dolph. They're way more important right now, with all the respect to Dash and Dawson. But have a game plan in mind to get the belts on them. And I mean, I think you could, I honestly think you could build the tag team division around them as tag team specialists, as baby faces, and just bring on the heels and have them as undersized baby faces do their thing. I think it could be a totally unlikely breakout act of late 2018, early 2019.
It definitely could be. And like you said, it's not just because of the crowd response tonight. One thing that they have going for them is the fact that they're not a singles act that is going to get all Vince's attention. I mean, I think Vince recognizes the fact that he needs the tag team scene to fill time on Raw. And the fact that it is the tag team scene, though, which he isn't always fond on anyway, I think they might be able to thrive a little bit more. I see them. You're right. They're not going to be in line for a championship run right now because those belts are making Drew and Dolph. And like you mentioned, they're too important to take a loss at this point outside of the bounds of the story with the Shield. But at some point, I think eventually those belts are going to get out around the waist of Authors of Pain at some point down the road. And I think that's a money tag team feud. You put heel AOP against babyface Revival and you have them just, you have them go maybe 2-3 pay-per-view events in a variety of different matches. I think the audience can get behind that. I think we've seen them work good matches together. There's a chemistry there. There's a history there that they can play off of. So yeah, I think when the time comes, probably, you know, early next year at this point, but I think that's the run that I'm looking at to really make them as a staple tag team act on Raw on the babyface column.
All right, let's go to a couple questions on Dean here. This comes from Aaron from North Carolina and Marcus also. Hey, Wade, is it just me or did anyone else notice that Dean Ambrose gave Roman Reigns the win? He hit Dirty Deeds, and then instead of pinning Corbin, he in succession knocked Akam out, then knocked Razor out of the ring. Then he backed up, let Roman tag in, and then did a dive out of the ring. Why? I was completely dumbfounded. Then I remembered, this is about getting Roman over. Thanks, WWE, for ruining my night with that finish. Sorry for the rant, but I'm curious on your and Zach's takes on this. Yeah, I mean, it did feel that way, didn't it? This is all about Dean. Yep. And I thought like they were going to play it up like, you know, well, did Dean intend for Roman to tag in? Did Roman steal Dean's pin? And they really didn't tell that story. It just came across as, well, Roman's in the match. Of course, he's got to get the pinfall.
Yeah, that was my exact feeling on it, too, when I was watching it. And like I said, I thought there was going to be some sort of funny finish that kind of left the door open for, you know, is Ambrose turning? Is he not? But then when he just went and tagged Reigns into the match after he and Rollins both hyped up to the crowd. I mean, just look at in that match what those guys did. You had Rollins fly around. I think he gave at least two, maybe three suicide dives. He hit the stomp. Ambrose hit Dirty Deeds. And, the crowd's going nuts at that point, you know. And then there's Reigns to just kind of ride their coattails, tag in, hit the spear. The pop is still going on before anybody really notices what happened. And show over. They do the Shield fist bump, and that's it. I mean, I wrote in my report that it's part of it is absolutely just brilliant booking, and the other part is just totally tone-deaf booking at the same time. And it's so funny how this Reigns story walks that fine line, because it's something else to watch. It really is.
It is. I don't think Vince is oblivious to how it comes across. I mean, I played Little League basketball, and I played on a team multiple times where the dad was a coach, or the coach was a dad of one of the kids. And I mean, it's a different dynamic, and I understand it's got to be hard to be a parent on a Little League team and not favor your kid if you think he's, you know, pretty good. I mean, I get that in Little League, but when you get to the professional level, it's you wonder if Roman Reigns gets a little embarrassed by this. Like,
well, right.
You know, like, that's what I just wonder about. I'm like, does he just like talk with his friends afterwards and be like, oh God, I mean, what do I do? And his friends are just like, well, I mean, you can't say anything. You just got to go with you. I know, I know, but God, I'd boo me too. You know, like, I don't know how self-aware Roman is of this, but it is, it's not subtle.
No, and I mean, yeah, and I think, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and say this. Roman's such a good heel that, you know, backstage he's going, hey, guys, did you hear that pop I just got? Did you hear that? Like, yes. You know, that's what he's deep down he's thinking, because I mean, if you have any sense of pride whatsoever, you're looking around and you're going, all right, something's off here. I'm not, you know, these guys are getting the response, and there I am just kind of tagging in and just along for the ride, even though I'm supposed to be the guy carrying the company. Like, you know, that would hurt the ego a little bit, I think.
Yeah. All right. Luke in Toronto says, my question concerns the character development of Dean Ambrose. It does seem there is a movement away from his zany-like qualities of the past, but what are we left with? But what we're left with feels a little blank. Is this a deliberate attempt by Ambrose and or creative to take us on a longer journey? Or is he just a flat babyface in the absence of all the prior wackiness? Thanks for your continued excellent coverage. Thank you, Luke in Toronto. What do you think of what they've done with Dean so far? I was excited tonight. Like, we got an in-ring Shield promo. We're going to hear from Dean. You know, he's been gone. We're going to hear more than him just, you know, make some wacky comment or, you know, witty comment or whatever to some backstage guy. We're actually going to hear him talk. And we didn't. And that was part of the mystery of, you know, Braun and Drew and Dolph trying to plant some seeds of discontent. And I get the reason for it. But I think it is getting to the point now where it does feel like it's defining Dean down a little bit to have him just be the guy in the background who came back after 9 months away and he doesn't talk. He's got no mission statement. He's got nothing to say. And it seems to be diminishing him. Now, that said, I loved the Dean Ambrose when he was in the Shield, but I saw him as the vocal leader. I saw him as a mastermind. Like, when they first said, oh, Seth Rollins, he's the architect, I was like, really? Like, I always thought of Dean as the architect. I didn't think of Dean as the Buddy Roberts or the Freebirds, the wacky guy doing, or what, I don't know. You know, like, I saw him as the devious mastermind who was kind of pulling the strings and pushing the buttons of Seth and Roman. And I don't know where he is right now as a character.
Yeah, no, you're right. And, you know, if you go back and watch like early Shield stuff, like, he definitely is the focus of the really early part of the Shield, and those, you know, those promos where they're backstage and they're kind of all huddled in front of the, you know, one camera that is obvious that they're holding, you know, Dean's front and center. He's the guy that in that very first Shield interview is to the, you know, right next to Michael Cole, whoever it was. And he was the guy that got the most time explaining who the Shield were. So yeah, it's a far, far cry today where they were, all those years ago. In terms of him losing the Zany gimmick, I'm glad about that. I think that that had a shelf life, and I think it overstayed its welcome back when he was doing it before the injury. You look, you never want to wish injury on anybody by any means, and I think he had a real rough go of it there. But I think it gave him a chance to refresh that character that needed refreshing. So I'm glad that he's taken this serious approach. He's not being goofy. He looks like he's on a mission. The problem that I have is nobody knows what that mission is outside of get Roman Reigns cheered. And that's the problem. So I think eventually down the road, it could come out where, you know, the mission statement finally unravels itself. If he turns heel, I think this newfound character and look kind of leads me to believe that that's on the horizon at some point, but they haven't planted the seeds really yet, but I think it all is leading towards that. And I think that will be good for him.
Yeah, I agree. I have faith that he will come out of this if given an opportunity. I mean, I think he's good enough that if there's some kind of not so good booking that when they decide to turn the heat up high on him, it will work. But And I'm with you. I'm glad the subtraction of the zaniness is a net gain for his main event potential. So, all right. Blake from Milwaukee says, hey, Wade and Zach, I know last week we all complained there was way too much advertising in different shows that are happening in the next month. But how did we go through a 3-hour show and two women's matches, one including Alexa Bliss and Mickie James, and they didn't mention WWE Evolution one time? Alexa and Mickie are both in big matches, and they couldn't even show a couple graphics or mention it. That doesn't give me hope for a show that my wife and I are especially looking forward to, especially my wife. Blake from Milwaukee. Go VIP, everyone. Thank you, Blake. I'm hesitant to be a complete hypocrite and be like, why did they hype Evolution when I spent 2 weeks complaining about them hyping too many events? But this did sort of feel like they went too far the other direction. I mean, we got a total Divas ad. I don't remember a 205 Live Wednesday night, Wednesday night lineup ad. Do you remember one, Zach?
No, there was not one. And there's some big matches on that show, too. They're not big matches, but, you know, for 205 Live standards.
Yeah, I know what you mean. almost goes without say, you know, but I guess
right.
It's in content. So, they did seem to cut back a lot. I mean, I guess they had that movie to promote. What is it? What's it called? Blackout or something? I can't remember.
Yes, I don't. See, how bad is that, though? You know, we should know based on how much they promote it.
Yeah, but I'm typing stuff up and posting and hitting updates.
Yeah, so very true.
Hopefully viewers know more about that movie than I do right now. But yeah, I mean, they did focus on this the Australian show that's coming up in a couple weeks, and I get that. But, I mean, it is to not even mention it in passing. I would like... To me, just show the damn calendar. If you're going to promote like that the AWA and World Class is on WWE Network this week, which they did, in that little, you know, did you know fact thing. I mean, just show a little calendar on the screen and go, here's the next four big things coming up on WWE Network. And at Wednesday night lineup, show a little graphic. 205 Live, Mae Young, NXT, of course. And talk about the buzz coming out of last week's standout main event on NXT. Get people excited. Make them feel like they missed out on something. Hype 205 Live. And then show the next date after that that you should circle for network subscribers. Put this on your phone calendar is the Super Showdown. And then after that, and talk about the Saudi show and Evolution. You could do it in 30 seconds, but you're letting people know, okay, here's what's coming up. Plan your schedule. But the focus of the show itself after that should still be on something that doesn't make you feel like you're watching an infomercial. And I think that's the middle ground. And in passing, during women's tag matches, I think it is okay to talk about it. I sure hope they turn it up in 2 weeks and that Evolution gets as much hype as that Saudi show, if not more. I really thought the Evolution show was going to get a ton of hype and the spotlight. And now it looks like it is... There's a chance it's going to be so in the shadow of the Saudi show with that big Lesnar Reigns Braun match and everything else that's going to be on that show. Who knows if they do some follow up with Undertaker and Michaels right. And stuff. I mean, I feel like Evolution is going to feel like SmackDown's feel some weeks compared to Raw or, you know, SmackDown pay-per-views. And that's not what they sold people on. This is supposed to be their time in the spotlight.
That's my issue with it. That's my issue with the lack of promotion. Is I think going into the Australia show is one thing, and I will say too, you know, I can't really remember, and maybe it's because I just was beaten on the head with the Super Showdown for three straight hours. But man, just in one-off sentences, they plug it constantly, and I'd be okay with that and the plugs for the Crown Jewel event if you knew that Evolution was going to get its proper time, if the Saudi event was later in the year. But those things are just days apart, and you're going to still have, what did you say, 12 days until the Super Showdown, and then before you know it, the 28th of October is going to be here with the Saudi show right behind it. Yeah. There's just not a lot of time to give it the proper promotion and the proper hype that it deserves, given the fact that it was a life-changing moment for women around the world when they announced the thing. And it's just I don't see how it can get the same level of hype at this point with those two shows so close together. And it's disappointing because, you know, I think it's not the forum necessarily to talk about the merits of the Saudi show, but it's just with those two drastic, you know, emotions about the women's show and then the women not being allowed on the big Saudi show. Like, you'd think they'd at the very least want to save face and give that women's show proper time. And I'm just not sure the weeks and the Raws are left to do it.
I am curious. And there was a headline a few days ago about a female journalist is the first woman to anchor a national news bulletin in Saudi Arabia. And that's part of the progress that Hunter and Stephanie and WWE promised us, that, hey, be patient. We're going to be part of something. They ran that propaganda video, which felt, you know, shameful in certain ways, because it's, you know, to be in the business now of promoting Saudi progress as if there's some like news agency to WWE fans. It's like, stick to pro wrestling and save the propaganda trying to put a country over when they have so many other things that are wrong right now. That said, if WWE, if Renee Young, for instance, now is allowed to do the broadcast because now there's a female news anchor in Saudi Arabia, I mean, that is a step forward. And if WWE, it turns out, it had the leverage to go, yeah, you can pay us all this money, but you're not buying us out. We need to show progress. We have a reputation to uphold. We are, you know, we have promoted the women's evolution, and we have corporate partners who are going to be nervous about us being part of this. We need every show for there to be a sign of progress. You have to honor our culture in addition to us respecting or tolerating your behind the scenes aspects of your culture. You know, Renee hosting, and again, I don't want WWE to make a big deal out of it, like to just throw their shoulder out, patting themselves on the back over it. But if they do that and they just stay quiet about it and they go, hey, Renee, it's great that you're here. This is, you know, just a real quick comment. There's another sign of Saudi Arabia moving forward with women in roles that traditionally, culturally, they haven't had before. It's great to have you here. What do you think about the main event? Boom. Then move on. Just please, like, you know, have some restraint.
Yeah.
But if they do that and then the next time, maybe there's a valet at ringside if they have to dress a little differently. I get that. I haven't studied the Saudi culture enough to know like how fast to expect progress in that regard. But WWE, for all the money they're making, they're going to look like massive sellouts pushing propaganda if they have to exclude women even from this second show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think they're going to have a tough time, especially if they don't give, Evolution at the very least equal treatment and equal hype that that Crown Jewel is getting. And if it turns out that Renee is going to be out there for commentary or really for whatever, you know, good on them. And you do it, move forward and act like it's typical business, because in regular WWE life, it is. And that's how they should treat it.
All right, Zach. Well, and on that note, thanks so much. Great conversation.
Yeah, absolutely, Wade. Thank you very much for having me. Always enjoy talking wrestling with you.
All right, so everybody go check out Zach's report and my report on pwtorch.com and the show we talked about. I'm sure there's some segments throughout the show we did not talk about on today's show. I will be doing for VIP members the full rundown of Raw start to finish. That's another VIP benefit. The Wade Keller Hotline every Monday and Tuesday night after Raw and SmackDown. So if you missed the show, If you just want to know what happened chronologically with my thoughts on every segment that has anything worthy of commenting on, you can go VIP. And it's actually, even though I record them in reverse, it's actually a good thing to listen to first if you don't watch Raw and SmackDown. And then you can pick up on the Wade Keller post shows to get kind of the more longer form conversation and analysis. And of course, a bunch of different points of view with on-site correspondents, most weeks, Denver, and our co-hosts, our wonderful array of co-hosts, and then our callers and emailers. So go VIP, pwtorchvipinfo.com. Zach, we will talk to you soon and hear from you sooner.
Sounds great, Wade. Thanks.
So tomorrow, Jason Solomon from Solid Monster Sounds Off is another one of those great co-hosts that we bring you in rotation here on the Wade Keller post shows and Wade Keller podcast later in the week. Try to bring you all kinds of points of views on professional wrestling with wide array of different contributors to the shows who join me for these programs throughout the week. So thank you to everybody for supporting us and downloading our shows. Again, if you listen to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows, thank you for that. That's our red logo shows. Pretty much everywhere that this show is available, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcasts are available. That's the Thursday flagship and our Friday show. Typically, our Friday show is Interview Friday. Last Friday, it was Mailbag Friday. We broke from the interview format. Jason Powell and I did nearly an hour of mailbag questions on a wide array of topics. So much to talk about last week that we just went that extra hour and gave plenty of time to some great emails that came in. So if you missed that, go check it out right now. Just search Wade Keller and subscribe to the blue logo, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast, as opposed to this, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post show. Also, be sure you're checking out the PW Torch livecast lineup. A bunch of colleagues of mine do weekly shows, and there is a new show every day. Mondays, it's MMA Talk for Pro Wrestling Fans. And then Tuesday nights, it's the ROH show. Wednesday nights, our NXT show. Thursday nights, our Impact show. Friday, it's the Best of Edition. Last Friday, my interview from 5 years ago this month with Jerry Jarrett, the father of Jeff Jarrett, longtime promoter and booker of the Memphis, Nashville-based territory, a power broker in WCW and WWF and TNA over the years, a fascinating interview with him about the evolution of territories and a story that I bet a lot of you don't know a lot about, which was the Pro Wrestling USA Consortium in the mid-1980s that made a run at Vince McMahon. It was a collection of the remaining power brokers in wrestling who were not part of the WWF, including Jerry Jarrett, Vern Gagne, and others. And the goal was, let's take it to Vince and his territory in the Northeast, in New York, New Jersey in particular. And Jerry talks about that. Also, Magnum TA, how big of a star and a difference maker would he have been if he didn't get in that car crash and end up paralyzed? So all kinds of great topics in that Jerry Jarrett interview. I've made reference to it a lot over the years, and it is now available, the full interview on the Best of Edition of the PW Torch livecast. So I hope you'll subscribe if you haven't yet to the whole PW Torch livecast lineup. Every Saturday, it's the Deep Dive with Rich Fan, in-depth on a single topic with a great rotation of different co-hosts. And then Sunday, it's the main show, Wrestling Night in America, with Pro Wrestling Torch columnist Greg Parks. And that includes our WWE pay-per-view post-shows on Sunday nights. We'll have one for Impact coming up also after their pay-per-view. But otherwise, they just take callers in prime time on Sunday. Greg takes calls and talks about past and future big events in professional wrestling with a focus on the big lineups for WWE and otherwise. So it's free to subscribe to the livecast lineup. If you're a VIP member, you get all those shows on the VIP feed with the ads and plugs removed, which is wonderful. If I know how I am. I subscribe to the like Hulu ad-free version so I can get through commercials. I'm big into The Lodge right now, and so they kind of got me to subscribe to, I think, is it AMC that The Lodge is on? Whatever network The Lodge is on, I pay $5 a month so I can get ahead on The Lodge because I couldn't wait each week to see the end of it. And it's so nice not having to sit through the ads that you can't fast forward through if you watch it on demand otherwise. So we offer the same thing. I mean, it's take your pick. We got to have some ad support if you're not a member. And so we do have our commercials. But if you're willing to support us and pay a monthly fee, we give you a ton in return. And part of that is taking the ads and plugs off all the live casts, all 7 per week, and all 4 Wade Keller post shows and podcasts during the week. And then we have a ton of other VIP exclusive shows. I'm part of a dozen other shows per week that never have ads. They're VIP exclusive podcasts and much more. So you can check out the lineup, pwtorchvipinfo.com. We'd love to have you as a member. We thank you for supporting us by listening to this all the way through to the end here. But I think you'll really enjoy being a VIP member. And it's not just WWE talk. We're very WWE-centric here, obviously, on the Raw and SmackDown post shows and some weeks on the podcasts later in the week, Thursday and Friday. But we hit everything. New Japan, ROH, NXT, Impact, Nostalgia, and so much more. So go VIP, PWTorchVIPinfo.com. All right, follow me on Twitter at TheWadeKeller and follow our brand at PWTorch. You can follow us on Instagram at PWTorch and on Facebook at Facebook.com/PWTorch. You can also friend me on Facebook at Facebook.com/WadeKellerTorch. Be sure you're checking out PWTorch.com every day for the latest pro wrestling news, TV reports, live event coverage, flashbacks, special columns, editorials, and more. Also check out MMATorch.com with some big names returning, Jon Jones, Conor McGregor, Brock Lesnar. Things are getting hot in the MMA world and UFC in particular. So check out that for the latest news and results. And then also PWPodcasts.com. That's PWPodcasts.com for the latest written recaps and analysis of pro wrestling personality hosted podcasts. And if you're interested in becoming a volunteer contributor to that site, drop me a line at WadeKellerPodcast@PWTorch.com. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to Zach, my co-host, our great callers this week, and some really good emails. And until tomorrow, hey, Denver, come through for me for the SmackDown taping on Tuesday night. Drop me a line if you're going to be attending and can join us afterwards for the on-site report. And until then, Wade Keller thanking you and signing off. If you shop at Amazon, I have a request. When you shop at Amazon, don't go to Amazon.com. That sounds weird. How are you going to shop at Amazon if you don't go there? Well, don't go directly there. Start at PWTorch.com/Amazon. That's PWTorch.com/Amazon. When you go there, there's a giant Amazon logo. Click on it. It takes you right to the Amazon homepage where you were heading anyways, but that small detour tells Amazon, we sent you there. And when they get that message, they send us a commission on everything that you buy. So it's a great way to support us without having to do anything different other than when you shop at Amazon, start at pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you so much for your support. Hey, if you'd like to hear this show without ads and plugs interrupting, there's one thing you can do right now to make that happen, and that is become a PW Torch VIP member. You get about a dozen other podcasts throughout the week that I host that are VIP exclusive, and you get the Wade Keller post shows and podcasts during the week with the ads and plugs removed, all on a separate feed exclusively for VIP members. Plus tons of other podcasts that are VIP exclusive, access to our full archives of podcasts dating back to 2004, which includes post pay-per-view roundtables dating back to late 2004. Also access to our full archives, thousands of podcasts, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch Weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our website, and more. Check out full details at pwtorchvipinfo.com. That's pwtorchvipinfo.com to get full details and then jump to our sign-up form. It's mobile-friendly, desktop-friendly. In 2 minutes, you can be a VIP member, show support for us, and we'll give you a lot in return, including a streamlined listening experience on your iPhone or Android device with the ads and plugs removed. Go check it out, pwtorchvipinfo.com.